good to have you back. You can tell someone it's good to see you. It's been a while, and I know God has preserved us, kept us. I think we were away from one another for all of almost 2 weeks, huh? And that means that you might have forgotten your neighbor. Huh? So I just tell them, I still see you, still remember you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I think there are some birthdays which are being celebrated. Huh? I think Susan or Mika's birthday today, so maybe we pray for them at the end of the service and give thanks to God, yeah, for the child and everyone else who was born in February. Amen? Yeah, so we thank God. So today we will share on raising godly children. Amen? Remember our theme, Joshua 24 verse 15. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And you know, we've been talking about marriage, we've been talking about the father, talking about the mother, but also we must also talk about the children, because children are part of the family. And in as much as a marriage is complete without children, but we know that the desire of every marriage is that they should be fruitful, they should have children. I know nowadays you will have men who will tell you they don't want children. Eh? You can find a woman you marry and they tell you, me, I don't want a child. Some maybe it's medical reasons, some it's just the trauma they had, you know. Some growing up, they saw how their parents treated them, they don't want children. But the plan of God has always been for fruitfulness, for multiplication, for there to have children, for families to have children, because it is the plan of God, it is the purpose of God. And you can think about the kind of society we have today. There is so much traps that have been set for our children. You look at the media, I was looking at some stories and they were saying even the cartoons that we watch, that we allow our children to watch, have now been infiltrated by the wrong people. You can find cartoons are teaching children the wrong thing. You can find even the curriculums in schools are teaching children about, you know, different sexualities and all that. And the end result is that you find a lot of corruption that is coming. And unless we raise our children in the fear of God, we will be lost. But I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think it is harder to raise our children now as it was in the Bible time, or the difficulties are still the same? With the internet, with the phones, with the influence in the school, with the drugs, I think it is still the same. It's only that we were not there. I don't think it was easy for Abraham to raise his family in the midst of Canaanites. For him to ask to make sure, please don't allow my son to marry from here. It tells you it was not easy. Think about Lot raising his daughters in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he raises virgins. And all the men just as Sodomites and all that. And you can think of how tough it was. And that is why the Bible is able to guide us and to give us wisdom on how we also can raise children according to the standard of God. Amen? And this is what we're going to understand. So we're going to read, and first we'll start by some examples of people who God shows us as people who raise godly families. Let's look at Abraham. And Genesis chapter 18, we read, verse 16 says, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abram went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Verse 18, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him. And in order, or I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very great. Have you ever wondered why God chose Abraham? Of all the people in the world, why did God choose Abraham? The Bible is telling us that God chose him because he saw in Abraham the capacity to teach his children and his children after him and his entire household to keep the way of the Lord. Now, if you look at Abraham, you can see that he trained even Ishmael in prayer. Because when he sent Ishmael with just bread and water, when it finished, the Bible tells us that Hagar, she cried. But God said he heard the cry of the child. That means that the child learned to pray. And he was told that, look here, I have given you, I can only give you water and bread. But I know if you go and pray to the God that I pray to, he's going to answer you. Amen? So there is something about priesthood. Think about Midianites. The Midianites, like Jethro, who was a Midianite priest. He is one of the children of Abraham from the line of Keturah. After Sarai died and later on he married, he also had other children who came up and they still learned the priesthood. So God chose Abraham because he is able to teach his children, to command his children and his household after him. You can think about when even they were given the commandment to circumcise, he brought all the male children and he circumcised. Look at a second example of the parents of Samson. Now, if you look at Judges chapter 13, verse 2, it tells us, now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome, but he did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God, from God, from the womb of his, to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, and he asked God, oh, please, let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. And then later on she goes and calls her husband. So we can see that this is a family that did not have a child. And the angel of God comes to the woman and finds the woman in the field and says that, you know what, you have been barren, yes, but you're going to conceive a child. But this child that is going to come is going to be a special child. It's going to be a Nazarite. A Nazarite is a child or is someone who will grow up with a vow that they are dedicated to God. That means they don't cut their hair, they don't drink wine, they don't touch anything unclean, anything dead, they don't touch it. Why? They are dedicated to God. Now, she is told this is how you're supposed to do it. Now Manoah, she runs and tells her husband. And now Manoah tells God, God, I pray that this angel come again and tell me how to raise this child. Now, he's already giving us a principle that even when God gives us children, we must get to the point where we ask God, God, you gave me this child. What will become of this child? How am I going to raise this child in the way that he should go? And that is something that we will see, that we are asking God, how will he will raise this child in the way that the child should go, not in the way that I should go. You know, many times we parents, we want to make our children who we are. Just because you did not be, you are not a doctor, you want to make your child a doctor. Just because you did not get PhD, you want to make sure your child gets PhD. But the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way that he should go, the way that God has designed for this child. And we can see Manoah asking God, please send that angel again to come and show us how we should raise up this child. Let us look at a third example, the sons of Issachar. And this we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. The Bible says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Now, this is describing a family. Now, this family were the sons of Issachar. There was something unique about them. The Bible says they had understanding of the times. They knew what Israel ought to do per time and season. That means that there was something unique about, there was a gift in their home. You can think about how David, when he will appoint leaders, when he will appoint the musicians will train their children after them in their trade, in what they were doing. So the sons of Issachar, they were mighty, and you can look at 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 5, says, now their brethren among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor, listed by their genealogies, 87,000 in all. So you can see, Issachar had four sons, Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. And all these men grew into a mighty army, and they were called mighty men of valor. So these sons of Issachar, they were able to put all their brothers, all their children, to follow the ways of the Lord. Let us look at the fourth example. There's another man called Jonadab, and he is of the family of the Rechabites. And this we read in Jeremiah 35, and we can read from verse 12. You can read the entire chapter. It gives a better context. The Bible says, verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, the host of God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words, declares the Lord. The command that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave to his sons to drink no wine has been kept, and they drank no wine to this day, for they have obeyed their fathers. Actually, if you look at the command, they were told by their father, none of you is to drink wine. None of you is even to build a stone house. They were to live in tents all their lives. And when Jeremiah went to ask them, they told them, us, our family, as commanded by our father, we have not drunk wine, we have not built houses, we live in tents, and we will continue to do so. And God said, look, the sons of Jonadab, verse 16, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have kept the command of their father gave them, but these people have not obeyed him. Obeyed me. Verse 18, but the house of Rechabites, Jeremiah said, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never lack a man to stand before me. God was impressed, and God gave this family as an example to others. Like you can see, this is a man who has spoken to his family, and his children after him, they are following the pattern of their father. And God says, Israelites, look here, why don't you follow also like this man? Now, because he has done this, we shall ensure that he shall never lack a man to stand before him. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, which shall be the theme that we shall look at, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means that we have a responsibility as parents, as people who raise children. You know, they could be your biological children, they could be adopted children, they could be children that are under your house or staying in your roof, that you must train them in the way they should go. That means that there is a responsibility to seek the face of God and find out, how should these children be raised? How should I raise them? What is their destiny? What are their giftings in their life that should be nurtured? I know of families or children, you know, they finish the degree their parents wanted them to do, and then they pack the degree and tell their father, now, this is your degree, this is your certificate, now let me go and do music. Let me go and do what my own career. They say, this one I did for you. And they give them. Now, that is very sad because it shows that the parents squeezed it or impressed and they pushed too much of their destiny on their children. But also, at times, the children can also be wayward. And unless the parents direct them and tell them, look here, this is what you must do. Unless the parents also stand the ground, so now where will the wisdom come to do that? When to allow the child is moving in the right direction, or when to stand and say, no, I will not allow you to marry this person because I can see this person will lead you in the wrong direction. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children, as long as they are trained, and think about it. Think about other things. The moment that child is born, what do they speak? They speak into that child. Christians, they celebrate, they dance, they eat sweets. They don't speak even to the womb. When that child is in the womb, do you start speaking prophecies over that child? Do you start speaking blessings over that child? Do you start dedicating this child? What is her name? Hannah. She said, God, if you give me a child, a male child, I will dedicate it to the Lord. She was very specific, and God said, because you have asked for this, I will do it. So there is a prayer that you start to pray even before your children come. You start to tell God that, God, whatever destinies that they shall have, one and most important thing, they shall know you. They shall serve you. If they shall be doctors, they shall serve you in their profession. They shall know you. If they shall be servants of God, they shall be dedicated to serve God. Whatever it is that is unique about them, it shall come out and you shall give us the ability to understand. So I'm going to give us some points that will guide us in that wisdom of how we are going to raise godly children. Number one is to understand that God is the giver of children. I tell you, you can try. Some people think it is biology, but there is more to biology than having children. Than it is God that opens wombs. You can think it is your effort. You can try as much as you can. It might not work. You must humble yourself to know that it is God that gives children. You think about Eve. The first mother, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Adam knew his wife, that means he became intimate with his wife. She conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. That means the first mother, she said that, yes, she was with her husband, but she knows that I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. That means that the God is the giver of children. And he says that he will bless the wombs. There is none that is to be barren in Zion. That means it is the desire of God that anyone that desires to have children, God is able to do it. It is just a matter of submitting yourself to God and believing and waiting on God and trusting in him. Psalms 127 verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. That means it is an inheritance. It is a blessing from God. Children come from God. Even if a child came out of wedlock, even if a child came out of rape, you can think about Judah and Tamar. Judah slept with the daughter-in-law. But the lineage of Jesus comes from that. Now, it looked like it was a child that was not supposed to be right. But you see, God says, God uses that lineage. Think about Solomon. Why did not God choose the heir of David to come from any other of his legally wedded wives? But God chooses the baby to come from Bathsheba, a woman born that is out of adultery. That is why children come from the Lord. The fact that that child has come, there is a destiny that God has prepared for this child, and we must do our very best to take care of them. So the Bible says, verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. That means God is saying it is good to also get children when you are young. Get them when you have strength to take care of them. If you wait until maybe you are later in your age, by the time the child wants to play football, you are struggling with arthritis. It is a bit too late. There is a time. God is saying, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks to his enemies at the gate. That means that children can be your defense in your later age when you're struggling. And you know, it's not about the gender or the sex of the child. You can find a daughter is worth more than four sons. Some people say, no, I wanted a son, not a girl. But the girl can be more powerful than four boys. And parents will later on say, I thank God for my daughter. This girl has taken care of me. You know, when you go to hospitals and you find old men being brought, who brings them?
Their daughters.
Their daughters bring them. That shows you that there is something valuable about children, that it says, that the Bible says, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. That means there's a day that you might have shame, but your children will cover it. Psalms 128 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of your labor of your hands. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be a fruitful vine within your household. Your children like olive shoots around your table. God is saying, God is going to bless you with children. If you desire children, God is going to do it. Amen. God is the giver of children. I remember, like, for us when we got married, I was like, in my mind I was thinking, automatic, wedding night, pop. You know, you should, by 9 months you should be expecting children. We waited, nothing. Next, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and now the pressure starts. Everyone is like, you people are career people. Is it because you're studying? Is it because you're doing what? But it gets to the point where you submit yourself and you say, you know what? The doctors can say whatever they want to say. They can even find you to be normal. But you will submit. God will humble you to the point that you'll realize that God is the giver of children. And when he gives you that child, he has given you as a stewardship. That's something you must take care of. Number two, I want us to understand is that God desires godly children or godly offspring. That means that we must raise our children in the faith. Think about Jesus. When he was born, the Bible tells us, Luke 2:22, and when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to the Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That means that there was a dedication. They dedicated their children. They came and brought Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. That means you are saying that this child, God, you gave me this child, I am giving him back to you. Take care of him. If your child has not yet been dedicated, it is important that you bring your child for dedication. What we believe is we don't believe in baptizing children, because children, even if you baptize them, they don't understand. You make the decision for baptism when the child is in the point of maturity, but it is important to take your child for prayers of dedication. That means you commit yourself as parents that you shall raise this child in the fear of God, and also you're telling God to also take hold and take care of this child. Do you think you can protect your child 24/7? No. How many children die in their sleep? They just turned, they slept on the pillow and they were unable to turn. And the child dies. It is God that watches over children. You have children now, do you know where they are? No. How many children are kidnapped and trafficked on a daily basis? Are they children of people? Yes. But it is God that preserves children.
And so we have a responsibility to dedicate our children. Even you as an adult, if you are not dedicated, come and tell the leader, say, me, I want you to dedicate me. And if it is possible, you are prayed, you are dedicated to the Lord. Why? Because you are saying, I am giving myself to the Lord, and you become God's property. God is responsible for you. Look at, we spoke about Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. For this child I pray to the Lord, and the Lord has granted my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. You were united to your wife by the Lord. In God's wise plan, when you married, the two of you became one person in his sight. And what does God want? Godly children from your union. Therefore, guard your passions, keeping the faith with the wife of your youth. God desired godly children from your union. That means it is not the plan of God that you should be sowing seeds. Every country you're going, you're planting different wild oats and the children everywhere. No, God has placed that you and your spouse, you raise godly children together. Now, when number three that we need to understand, we need to train. Remember when we say, train up a child. That means that children are to be trained. Every mother or every parent knows this. How do you work on behavior in a child? You train it. The child likes to cry over everything. You say, baby, you're not going to cry. And if you cry, I will beat you. That is training. Why? Because you know that this is a child. In fact, the scriptures tell us, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, hear, O children, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be your frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. God was telling the Israelites, these are my commandments. This is the law of God. Everything you shall teach, you shall be diligent to teach your children. Why do you want to wait for teachers to teach your children the wrong thing? The questions about God, your children should have the answers about them before they go out. The questions about their gender, about their sexuality, they should have those questions answered in the house before they are taught contrary by outside there. They should understand, why is it that we are not like our neighbors who take alcohol or who smoke marijuana and all this? Why is don't we do this in this home? Training starts in the house. And you see, your children will not do what you tell them to do. They will do what they see you do. That means that you are the one to set the example. I tell you, if you, it's just like there are certain programs, right? That in the past, when growing up, when the TV is playing and then the scene appears of kissing, you see everyone trying to find their corner. People leave the room, they go out. What? But now the children will be watching, the parents will be watching. Oh, the parents will tell the children, you go to the room. That child will say, when I grow up, I will do it. Because they see you do it, they say, okay, maybe this is for adults. So when they are adults, they will do it. So if you don't want your child not to do anything, don't do it. They watch by example. If you want your child to pray, you pray with them. If you want your child to read the Bible, you read the Bible with them. The training that you do, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. As a parent, you have a very short window to impact your child. Most of the time, you need to do it before they even, especially in their formative years, until 12 years, you have a big window to impact your child. Because by that, and especially when they start their teenager, that is the time they are discovering themselves. By this time, they should have known you, they shall have known
your character. They should have been trained in the discipline of the home. They should know what is the mission and the values of your family. What values characterize your home as a couple? These are the trainings you must do. You can see our other faiths. Every evening, they are taking their children for classes. Christian homes, the children are on Cocomelo. We have a responsibility to train our children. Otherwise, the world will not be kind to them. It is a very wicked world. Look at what Proverbs 13 verse 24 says. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. I was listening to one of the ladies was speaking about how she had asked her child to read the book of Proverbs. And then the child read this verse that says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. And the child came and asked the mother, so the reason you beat me is because you love me. He said, yeah, because I'm reading here. He says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. I know the Western world or different ideologies will say, oh, don't discipline your children. But the scriptures tell us, if you spare your rod, if you don't discipline your child, you're hitting this child. And when they go wrong, in fact, I think it's Swahili where they say, he that is not disciplined with their mother or with their home will be disciplined with the world. Don't wait for your child to be stealing in the house. They will go and steal outside and they will go and be killed outside. Don't wait for the world to discipline your child. Discipline your son. Look at what Proverbs 19 verse 18 says. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. That means if you are not disciplining your child, you are actually signing their death warrant. You are signing their death. Proverbs 23 verse 13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. That means your child will not die if you discipline them, but they will learn the right behavior. Proverbs 22 verse 15, it says, folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Children, the heart of a child is full of foolishness. That's what the Bible is saying. Foolishness is bound up, but the rod of discipline takes it far away. Proverbs 29 verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Mothers, don't let your child bring you shame. You know, when you go and visit people's home, and one child is all over running, entering the bedroom, going to the TV, throwing the couch down, what will people say? They'll say, ah, but why is this child not disciplined? That means there is shame, there is something is going wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 verse 5 says, he that does not manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, he must manage his own household. This is speaking of someone who wants to become an elder. You must know how to manage your own household and to teach your children obedience. That means children will learn good behavior from you. Number four, I want us to understand is that parents must be actively involved in raising their own children. Raising your children is not something you can delegate to the house help. It's not something you can delegate. You know, there are people who delegate raising their children to their grandparents. A woman gets pregnant, she gets a child, hands over to the grandparents and leaves. Even if you're far, you must be actively involved in the life of your children. You must know what they are reading. You must talk with their teachers. You must follow up on their progress in their school. Why? Because if these children go wrong, God will hold you responsible. God is going to hold you responsible. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 8 to 9. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. That means both parents are involved, must be involved in the raising up of children. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Many people, they blame the women when the children go wrong. But when the child does well, they say, my son, my child. When the children are good, they say they are for the father. When they are bad, they say, look at your child. They disown the children that are doing wrong.
My son, Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 2. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and years of life and peace they will add for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That means it is possible for fathers to push their children to anger. God is saying, do not push your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Number five, that is very important, is that parents are supposed to provide for the needs of their children. If you are a parent, you must do your level best to provide for them. Even the law warrants that. If you are divorced and your child is there, the court will say you have to pay child support. So it is responsibility. 2 Corinthians 12 says, now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. You know, there are cultures which say, just have many children. The older children will grow up and take care of the others. Eh? Or these children will take care of you. No, it is not right. The Bible tells us that children should not provide for their parents. It's the parents which should provide for their children. Proverbs 13 verse 22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. That means if you're a good man, you're going to be planning not only for your children, but for their children's children. That means you're leaving something solid. But what is the greatest inheritance that you give them? Their faith in God. You can leave money. How many families, they leave so much wealth. Within 2 years, they have sold all that money. They have sold buildings. They have wasted themselves. In fact, there are children who ask for their parents, when are you dying? When are you going to die so that I can take this property? And wasted. That is because there was a training they lacked. Look at even the richest people in the world, Bill Gates. There's a certain training he has trained his children that the children have already grown up knowing. They know that my father is the richest man in the world, but all his money is going to give to charity. None of this money will go to me, to us. So we ourselves as children, we have to find our own level. So if children grow up with responsibility, that means, yes, God has helped you. You have a job, you have some money, you have some ability. But if they don't have the discipline to maintain that wealth or to grow it, they're going to end up in poverty. It doesn't matter how much billions you've left them. They can lose them in a day. They can gamble it away. They can put it on Forex and lose it all. If they don't have the training of God, they will be lost. Number six, and then we'll conclude with number seven. It says, children are the seed of the next generation. You know, it's interesting that Joshua 24 verse 15, he says, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. But there's this verse in Judges that I consider for me is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And it's Judges chapter 2. If you read from verse 6, the Bible says, when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel, each went to his own inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. So when Joshua was alive, they served God. And all the elders who outlived Joshua, when the elders were there, they continued serving the Lord. And then Joshua died when he was 110 years. They buried him. Then verse 10, which I consider is very sad, the Bible says, and all that generation that were gathered were also gathered to their fathers. There also arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Look at how sad it is. Your father, grandfather was a minister, was a pastor. Your father is a pastor or a church, a Christian. Then you became a Christian. But then your children after you, they don't know God. This is what happened to Joshua. Joshua told us, as for me and his household, we will serve the Lord. The elders who lived with him, outlived him, they continued serving God. But the generation after them continued. But then another generation rose up that did not know the Lord. That shows that the chain was broken somewhere. The moment the chain breaks with you, you are doing a disservice to your children. Your parents did well for you. They trained you in God. But if you don't commit the same faith to your children, you break that chain. And you know what the enemy targets? If he has not been able to get you now, he will get your children. It's very sad if you are a committed Christian and your children are lost in the world. I don't know how that makes you feel as a parent. But a generation should not arise that does not know the Lord God. So the devil targets the seed of the next generation. That is why all the movies, all the music are not after us. They know us, we have already decided our way. They are after our children. They want to corrupt them at an early age. So you have a responsibility to watch, to teach your children that they must know the way of the Lord. Psalms 112 verse 1 to 3 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. Your children will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." These are prayers you make for your family. You say, "My children shall be mighty in the land. The generation of my family shall be blessed." You must keep speaking and praying the word of God over your children. You pray over them. You pray preservation over them. But you also train them in the way of the Lord. Number 7, which is our final point for today, it says we must depend on the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Manoah realized, I cannot do this on my own. Said, "Angel, God, please send that angel again. Yes, I've heard from my wife, but I need to hear for myself." You know, Adam heard, right? But the woman was told by Adam. So he said, no, I need to hear for myself. As a man, as a parent, you might be a single parent, you might be a mother alone or a father alone, you must only depend on the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. Think about it when Joseph and Mary, when they are raising up Jesus. The Bible says, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Go, leave this land. Herod is going to come this child. Come and kill this child." If Joseph was not sensitive to God, if he just said, this is just another dream, Jesus would have been killed as a child. Jesus would have been killed as a child. As parents, the decisions that we make will either affect positively or negatively our children. Where we decide to live, where we decide to work, will impact our children. Even where the town you decide your children to grow will impact them. You have a responsibility. It is a big stewardship that God has given you as parents to raise your children. And you must depend on the Holy Spirit. You must depend. When your children bring someone that they want to marry, you will have to know God for yourself. To know, I can say yes for this one, or to say, wait first, go and pray some more. God will guide you. And God is ready to guide you. We have said a number of things. We have said, train up a child in the way that he should go. God is the giver of children. God desires godly offspring, godly children. You must raise them up in the faith. You must train them in the godly way and in discipline. You must be actively involved in raising your children. You must provide for the needs of your children. You must preserve that seed of the next generation. And we must depend on the Holy Spirit for God's wisdom. Let's take a moment and we're going to receive the word of God and commit our families and our children to God. Just stand up and speak a word to God for your family. You're trusting God for children. Speak to them. If you have children, command them. Speak to them that God shall preserve them, that God shall watch over them, that God shall keep them. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of children. Thank you that you are the author of life, the giver of life, the giver of children. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that barrenness to stop in Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of barrenness, every spirit that has hindered women from enjoying the blessing of children. Maybe it is after the first child, we rebuke it, even secondary one. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against that spirit of miscarriages, that recurrent miscarriage. Those health issues, we put them to order. Be it hormonal imbalances, be it whatever system issue, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you say that children are a heritage from the Lord. And Father, this day, I thank you that we shall be blessed with children, that our homes shall be filled with children. Those that are trusting you for families, that you set the lonely in homes, you shall bless them, O God. And I thank you for the preservation of children, O God. The children that you've given us, O God, that you shall give us the wisdom, you shall give us the ability to provide for them, to make a way for them, to guide them in the right direction, O God. We speak a word of preservation over our children, O God, that they shall not fall victims to the destruction of this world, O God. They shall not fall victims to the traps of darkness. They shall be preserved, O God. Keep them from the evil one, O God. Keep them from the corruption of their time, O God. Preserve them from wicked friends, O God. Keep them from alcoholism and drugs, O God. And I pray for every child that is lost, O God. I send your word, O God, that you restore them, O God. You bring them back, O God. You send forth the right laborers for them, O God. I speak that word, O God. That child that is lost, O God, may they return home, O God. May they be preserved, O God. We arrest that spirit of corruption, that spirit of alcoholism and drugs, O God. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that the children of the blessed, they shall be strong, they shall be mighty in the land, O God, that we shall preserve our children and our children after them, O God. And Father, I pray for every parent, O God, that you grant them wisdom, O God, to know how to direct these children in the way that you go, O God, that our homes shall be blessed, that our families shall be blessed, that our children shall be blessed. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration, O God. Everyone that is under our home, O God, everyone that is our responsibility, O God, that they shall be preserved and they shall know you, O God. May we be guided, be directed by you. We exalt you and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen.